All right, so first of all, big yashikaych to a guest, the anonymous sponsor for the breakfast this morning. It should be the way to be makasher ourselves to Rabbi Melech and Les Lieper, Rabbi Shai Bar Moshe, and Luya Nishmas, Rabbi Nachum Mendel, Ben Rav Yosef. Okay? Amen. And the sponsor should be Zaycha Tol Shevet Bracha Vatzlocha, Abed Liyadai. All right, so we had a little bit of a break because of Purim, but before that, we were Isaac, I think it was about a month or so, in sort of the Hakdama to the next Chelek of Sefer Yeshua, beginning with Perek Yud Gimel. The first part of Sefer Yeshua, as we went through, it took us a while, but we went through the inyan of the 7 years of conquest, and then the second part of Sefer Yeshua, beginning with Perek Yud Gimel, is really the second part, which is the 7 years of settling, 7 years of Chiluk, of dividing up the land. So we spent about a month talking about the Dinyan and specifically how the land is divided vis-a-vis Shevet Levi, Bisman Hazeh, Lasad Lavi, went into that. But now let's begin Perek Yud Gimel. And Be'ez Hashem, it's all Vashkacha Pratis. What we're going to talk about now, the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, is a way of also preparing ourselves for Pesach. So you'll be connected to that. So right away, you'll be Meichel me. I did this pretty late last night, so there might be some typos, okay? So just bear with me. Okay, so right away, the first two marmakamis are two psukim in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel. So pasuk aleph opens up as follows. It's a misprint. The Yeshua Zaki in Baba Yomim. It says in pasuk, Yeshua was old and he came in days. In other words, the way the Mefarshim explains that sometimes a person can be old when they're young. They just, they have a lack of energy and lack of koiches. And then sometimes a person's old because they're taka old, So Yeshua ben Nun was old and he was taka old. After all the years of conquest and so on, it aged him. So V'yomer Hashem Elav, so Hashem says to Yeshua, this is the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, Ata Zakanta, you're old, Baba Yamim, okay? V'ha'aretz nishra harbi mo'ili rishtan. The problem is there's still a lot of land to be conquered. So you didn't necessarily finish the job. So then the Pasuk goes on from Pasuk Beis to Pasuk Zion, enumerating all the different parts of Eretz Yisrael that have still yet to be conquered. And it talks about each one and so on. And then comes Pasuk Zion, the Rabban Hashem gives an Eitzah. So in other words, the Rabban Hashem says the problem. The problem is that Eretz Yisrael is still not finished, but we have to, but you're old already, so we have to give an Eitzah. What's the Eitzah? And this is the Eitzah we're going to be talking about today, and we'll see where it takes us over the next couple of weeks. Pasuk says in Pasuk Zion, V'ata, Chalek es aretz azayis benachla, l'tishas ha-shvatim, v'chasei shev benasha. So Hashem's Eitzah is to divide up the land amongst all 9.5 tribes, where you're not ready. We know the 2.5 were on the other side of the yard, they moved and got in half of Menasha. They're already taken care of. So an Eretz Yisrael proper is divided amongst 9.5 shvatim. And so says Hashem Yisbarach, you didn't finish conquering all the land, so the Eitzah is divide up all the land between all the shvatim, give each shevet its appropriate piece of property. What type of eitz is that? What does that help? So there's different ways to explain it. I mean, what we're going to see as we move on is that what this does is this sort of transitions the responsibility of conquest from just being on Yeshua ben Nun's plate to each sheva has to take care of their own territory. So now Yehuda knows its territory, so Yehuda has to take care of it. Yisachar, Zvulun, Bechulu. But that's one aspect that's a practical in. It's too much for him, Yeshua ben Nun, to do on a, he's a lot of inyanim to take care of. But now you divide it up and, you know how to delegate the issue to each shevet. But on a deeper level, take a look at Marmukah number 3, is the Rabbag. One of the Rishonim, the Pirish on Sefer Yeshua. So he says like this, V'tziva meis Hashem Yisbarach, that the Rabban Yishlam commanded Yeshua ben Nun with this Eitzah, she'yapilel Yisrael l'nachla, that Yeshua ben Nun should divide up Eretz Yisrael, the inheritance of each shevet, ki'ilu kivshua kula, as if it was already conquered. This is already conquered. So in other words, what's the scenario over here? Again, Eretz Yisrael is not fully conquered, but Yeshua ben Nun is told by the Rabbanu Shalom, but you pretend as if it is. You imagine, use your imagination as if it's already conquered. What would you do if it was all conquered? You would then divide up the land amongst all the Shvatim. Do that. So what type of business is that? So this is what we're finding, what we see from here is a big Eitzah. That's what we're going to speak about today. It's probably going to be a shorter show than usual. It's not so complicated, but we'll see. Maybe we'll make it complicated over the coming weeks. But what we see over here is a big Eitzah of Avodas Hashem, and it's something that we find in Sefer Chassidus especially, the koyach of using your imagination to get out of a problem. And sometimes a person is stuck in a particular situation, and they don't find any practical ways to get out of it. So sometimes the Eitzah is to imagine yourself already past it. and you put yourself mentally in that place that's already after the issue, and you act accordingly, or you do something to sort of concretize that inyan of freeing your mind from the situation and mentally being beyond it, and then somehow that actually has a way of propelling you forward, of allowing you to be released of that practical prison. And that's what's going on over here on a deeper level. Yeshuva Nun, like he was old already, you know, this is a big manias, so he can't conquer all the land. So what does Hashem say? So pretend it already is conquered. What would you do if it was conquered? You divide it amongst 9.5 shvatim. Do that. In other words, project your imagination as if you already passed it. The koyach of dimyon. Usually imagination we'll see this in this form, that imagination, the koyach hamedame, is usually a faculty which is associated with negativity. Dimyon, taiva comes from dimyon, everything. If a person does anything wrong in life, it's because they're not thinking straight, right? So if a person's thinking straight, you'd only do the right thing, you'd only serve Hashem. Why do we ever do an aver? Because the ruach shtos comes in. What's the ruach shtos? It means the koyach hadimyon. We imagine that somehow the yetzahar is better to offer than the yetzer tov. It's dimyonis. So dimyon is always associated with negativity. But what we're seeing in the sormak, we'll see in a second, is that there is a koyach of the dimyon that could actually be used as an etza to overcome the yetzahar itself. And so that's what's going on over here. Using one's imagination to put yourself in a better place, as if you're already beyond the issue. And that itself will be a way to get past it. Let me give you an example. So, in Marmukah number 4, there's a piece on the Shem Yishmul in Parshas Yisrael, Tavshin Ayin Beis, the Rimasal B'chaydash. So this is a relatively famous quote that the Shem Yishmul brings, going back to the Chedush Arim, to the Kotzker. But we'll see the general context. So he's talking about, again, it's in Parshas Yisrael, so he's talking about the story of when Klal Yisrael come to Har Sinai. So it says in Pasuk, B'chaydash HaShlish, L'tzeis B'nei Yisrael, Meret Mitzrayim. So it says in Pasuk that in the third month, the month of Sivan, the Jewish, to the third month since we left Mitzrayim, so we left in Nisan, the third month of Sivan, so V'yom Ezeh Bo Midbar Sinai. That day we came to Midbar Sinai, and the Pasuk explains, V'yisum Refidim, we traveled from Refidim, V'yivom Midbar Sinai, we came to Sinai. So right away, you read the pasuk. The thing that pops out of you is the repetitiveness. It says the third month we came to Midbar Sinai. We traveled from Refidim. We came to Midbar Sinai. So it's an arichas dvar v'yesh la'avin. So ask the Shem Yishmul shehisker mi'kar biyaslam Midbar Sinai. First, it says we got to Midbar Sinai. V'achga chazul haskir hanesiim Refidim v'abil Midbar Sinai. Then it repeats again. We left Mitzrayim when we got to Midbar Sinai. What it should have said is straight. It should say that in the third month the Jewish people left Refidim and came to Midbar Sinai. But no, first it says we came to Midbar Sinai, and then it says we left Refidim and came to Midbar Sinai. We need all the arichas for. So it says the Shem Yishmul like this. Over here we have an etza. The Baruch Shem is giving us an etza. That Kamoishi Yisrael Berefidim, Smashachidish, Kamoishi Yisrael Berefidim, Rafi Yedei Min HaTorah. So we know that Klal Yisrael Chazal say was called Refidim. That was where we were attacked by Amalek. Sherafi Yedei Min HaTorah, because our hands became weak from learning. In other words, a lack of learning. We were weak in our Avodas Hashem. Vayisachaser Lem Hischazkas. And says the Shem Yishmul, that whatever the issue was over there in Refidim that caused a rifyon, that caused a weakness in Avodas Hashem, L'mayis, it was very hard for Klal Yisrael to get out of it, and they needed chizik. And they couldn't be mechazik themselves. The only thing that they could come up with was the following etza. They imagined themselves out of Refidim, standing by Har Sinai, receiving the Torah. And that's what gave them, and to a certain degree, that established this inyan, that to a certain degree, they're betzim by Har Sinai. It's a famous Yisrael from the Baal Shem, Ki Malkim Shadaito Shaladim Sham, the place that a person's mind is, Hareyu Kilo Hayisham Bepoil, it's as if your mom is there. So this is the V'inyan Zeh Hichzik B'Yodam, and this gave them strength, imagining themselves out of the Mania and past Refidim, already standing by Har Sinai, imagining themselves as the Tzaddikim that they want to be, so that gave them the strength, L'achlef Koyach, to rejuvenate their strength, to Lisa Mirfin Yadayim, and to Takali Refidim. K'mayish Amr Admor Harim Zechet Tzadik Vroch and so on Migur, like the Chedush Harim said Al Maimer HaOilam B'Loshen Ashkenaz. So the Chedush Harim, other people attribute to the Kotzker, he says from the Chedush Harim that there was a saying in Yiddish, As when Kenisht a river, Muzman Arunter, that if a person can't go over, then you have to go under. That's what the Velt says. And said the Chiddushim, v'ani yomer lehapach, but I say fakert. As in kenishta runter, muzman ha-river. If you can't go under, then go over. You know, this is the Chiddush Arim. If you can't go under, go over. And what does it mean to go under? Go under means to go the regular approach. Fight the Eitzahara, get out of the Maniyah, figure out an Eitzah, and move forward. But said the Chiddushim, but if you can't go under, then you have to go over. What does it mean to go over? It means, says the Shem Yishmul, it means to imagine yourself already there. Like to disregard the normal plot of step one, step two, step three, of how to actually get out of it. Just imagine, put yourself in a better mental space as if you're already there. And that itself, says the Shem Yishmul, to explain the Maimer, is that, like the Baal Shem Tov said, where your mind is, that's where you are. So to a certain degree, you are the pnimius of who you are is already there. And you're accomplishing something, you're taka bayar sinai. It's just that the chitzonis of who you are has to now catch up to it. But because the pnimius of who you are is already there, taka, so now it's a much easier mahalach. Vayinu kanal, and that's what the Chiddush Arim is trying to say. Sheyitzayer benav shay ma'alas gevayas, that imagine within yourself with like a real imagination the ma'alas that you want to reach, and bezeh yachlev koyach, and that's what's going to strengthen a person. And so that's what's going on over here in the pasuk. Again, that's what he's teaching, that the third month the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they came to Har Sinai. What does it mean to come to Har Sinai? It means they mentally went to Har Sinai. Once they were mentally in Har Sinai, so then v'yisum refidim v'yivayim mid Har Sinai. They're able to leave physically, refidim, and actually physically get to Har Sinai. But the first thing they did was mentally go to Har Sinai, and that's what gave them the strength to then leave refidim. U'b'zeh yesh l'farash mitzvah zachar b'shabbos, and with this we could explain a deeper meaning of what it means, the mitzvah of remembering Shabbos. Shapirish Ramban Meshema Mechilta, it's a well-known Ramban in Chumash, the Ramban says, in the name of the Medrash, that part of Zohar Siyam Shabbos Lekadshai is not just fulfilled on Friday night when you make Kiddush to remember Shabbos, but it means Lizkor B'kol Yoy Meshesh Yisim Hei Maisa Siyam HaShabbos. It means to remember Shabbos even during the 6 days of the week, right? The Ramban famously says, when you say the Shir Shal Yom HaYom Yom Rishon LeShabbos, Yom Shein LeShabbos V'chulu, that's fulfilling the mitzvah of Zohar Siyam HaShabbos Lekadshai. That's what the Ramban says from the Medrash. What's the meaning of that in the neshama? Like, why would the Ramban Shem want that? Like, what's the inyan of remembering Shabbos during the 6 days of the week? V'hainu Mishum, the v'sheishas yimei ma'isa, the answer is that during the 6 days of the week, shadim tar ben yonei melachas, a person is busy with inyanei melacha, with things of this world, the heavenly oilam hazeh, and very often, in the 6 days of the week, it's hard to escape that. So it's hard to escape that. So what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is to mentally project yourself in a place that's beyond that, which is Shabbos. So Yitzayir B'Nafshay, he says, like, use your imagination, Kilu Oymed B'Yayim HaShabbos, as if it's Shabbos. Like, imagine yourself, Mamish, like, as if it's, like, you know, in the middle of Shabbos morning, Shabbos night, whatever it is. Shekol Ish Yisraeli, Yesh Le'Eliyah B'Tzad Ma, and Shabbos, every Jew has some level of Aliyah. So whatever your Madrega is, when you mentally put yourself in that place, you really are. Your neshama is going into that space that's called Shabbos, and your neshama is being strengthened. And so you have this funny dynamic where on the outside, a person's stuck in a low place. But your neshama mentally, in pnimius-wise, you're in a bigger place. So you have this matzav of sort of like, almost as if like you're becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, contained in this sort of outer shell. And then and then all that happens is like a snake, shedding its skin, where it's like the chitzonis of who I am is, it doesn't fit me anywhere because I'm just pushing a bigger person. How did I become so big? By putting myself in that space. So it's mamash an unbelievable eitzah. A person can literally outgrow one's chitzonis by simply just putting yourself in a bigger place like that. And that's the eitzah that the Shem Yishmul is quoting from the Chiddush Arim. If you can't go under, go over. Can't go under, go over. And that's going back. That's what Hashem Yisbarach is on a deeper level. That can be what Hashem is telling Yeshua ben Nun. You can't conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, so pretend that you did. Put yourself in that matzav mentally as if you did. And by dividing up the land amongst the 9.5 Shvatim, that's concretizing the imaginative force of Yeshua ben Nun, of like, Eretz Yisrael is already ours. And once that takes place, then on a pneumistical level, that means that you conquered Eretz Yisrael already. It means that you're developing that, you're already past it. And then the goof will catch up to it, and at some point you become so big, and then it's just like, you know, the outer shell, you know, just dissipates. So that's what we saw. That's the Eitzah from the Shem Yishmul. That's what you find over here. Now this is very much related to Pesach. Very much related to Pesach. It's one of the core elements of what's going on by Pesach, according to the Ari HaKadosh. So let me explain. In Marmukah number 5, there's a piece from the Shar Kavanis, So, what time is it? So the piece from Shar Kavanis, it's in the Drushim of Pesach. So, yeah, this is the basic framework that the Rizal uses to approach the Yontav of Pesach. What was going on by Pesach? So the Hakdama to the storyline of Pesach is that the Jewish people, to put it simply, were in a very, very low place. Very low place spiritually. Again, the Rizal in the beginning of the drushes about Pesach talks about the origin of the problem, because you read the pesukim, it's like it just came out of nowhere. Pari has this Indian of enslaving us, and you know, but in its origin, it comes from the neshamas of Klal Yisrael at the time were greatly damaged because of Adam and Chava. There's Indian that the Rizal talks about, whatever. It's not for now, right now. But the point is that the Jewish people found themselves in a very, very low state. Now, usually, when a person's in a low madrega and ruchnia, so what do? So you step by step, you climb out of it. The problem is that Klal Yisrael could not climb out of it. They could not climb out of it. So says the Rizal. So was Rabban Shem Zaitza. So Rabban Shem Zaitza was, I'm going to give them big madregas. I'm going to give them very big madregas instantaneously. The night of Pesach, Michashecha la'ayra, mamish, from darkness to light. Big, big madregas instantaneously. And then says the Rizal, we'll see in a second, that gave them the strength to sort of disconnect from the klipa. That they were meshed in Tumas Mitzrayim. And then that's what the Rizal says. That's why we say Hal, the Nusach Sfarat says Hal Pesach night, is because what usually is like Yontif day, like the Chiddush of Pesach, is that night we're Zaychat all the Madregas, you know, without normal steps. Like usually Yontif, okay, step one is Friday, there's the nighttime, then there's the day. It's a gradual Zach. Pesach night is Mamish, Beli. We call it, it's the night of the Seder, but it's Mamish Beli Seder. It's mamish in once kereg achas, you know, mibira mikdal igra rama, from the lowest place to the highest place, and then that's Pesach night and that's Pesach day, but then, or at least by Rabbanan Chutzlar, it's 2 days Yontif, and then the Rabbanan Shloilam, what happens is Rabbanan Shloilam now takes the madrigas away, and now you have to go step by step, but now since you've experienced that inyan, so now you're already strong enough to be able to handle going step by step. That's what the Arizal says, and we'll see it together inside. Take a look, Maramok number 5. Again, this is in Shar Kavanis, Trush Gimel. Hine, b'yos shebeg, it's a mistake, b'yos shebegolos Mitzrayim, hoyu achitzaynim, nechazim betachlis bekdusha. So since in Mitzrayim, the chitzaynim, the klipa that the Jewish people were stuck in, was mamish, you know, the klipa was attached to kedusha, but tachlis hakedusha was very, very much enmeshed. Ad shechazar, until Klal Yisrael returned, L'madrega Yoyser grew it to the lowest madrega that's possible, without all that was left. And that's what, you know, when Chazal say that we were zeichet to be redeemed because we had three things, right? We didn't change our name, we didn't change our language, we didn't change our clothing. So it's interesting. Some achronim say, oh, so you see this, mamash and eitzah toivah to get out of galus, right? Like, we should hold on to these things. The posh of shad is like, everything fell apart to the point of where all that was left was a Jewish name, Jewish clothing, and what's called Jewish language. Now, the fact that that remained was a big madrega al kopan, and at least we held on to that. But it's not like, you know, that you know, when a Jew goes to, you know, after 120, like the biggest thing you should be able to say about it is not that you still called yourself, you know, Yankel. It's that, you know, you should have something more to say about yourself than that. Drama. Yeah, exactly. So it's like a little bit, but again, that's the description of Nebuchadnezzar, how low the situation was. That's all we could hold on to. The Barach Mi Hashem, that was enough for the Rebbe Hashem to say, you know what, fine, Genug Shem, that's enough for me, I'll give you a gula. But it's not, you know, but so he says, we went to Los Madreg of Lochain. Ola Baratzen HaMatzel HaElyon L'Hoitzi. Therefore, the Rebbe Hashem decided, he wants to take us out. But how did he do that? Ul Hagdiloi B'Tachlis HaGadlus. The way it was, the Rebbe Hashem was going to give us Mamish Tachlis HaGadlus at that moment. She'ef Sheli Eslai, that was Mamish possible. And through that godless that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us, it'll nullify the connection of the klipa over the Jewish people, create that space, just enough of a space between us and the Sitra Achra that we were so attached with, because it's such the intense light of Pesach, it'll just, you know, disengage us and disassociate us from the klipa. And then after the first day of Pesach, the iris are then removed, and we're back to where we started. But we're not fully back to where we started. We're back to where we started, as you know, in that madrig of Katnus. But al kopanim, we're not fully enmeshed in the klipa. There's enough space that was created through that experience of Pesach night to then allow us to then go through the normal process of step by step, which is what Sfiras Omer is. And then we go into that in that process of madregas, one step after the next. Then Yom HaSheni Shel Pesach, Atash Lomion, you may Sfiras Omer from the second day of Pesach, which is the first day of Sfira, right? Till eventually the 50th day of Sfira, which is Shuchag HaShuas, which is Yom Tov of Shuas. So that's the picture that the Rizal is painting for us of what Pesach was, which is, again, falling into Mamish. We fell into the very, very low places that we had. We didn't have Torah yet. So it's like Mamish, you had nothing to hold on to, except for, again, Shleshuna Shemam V'chulu. But there, so the Eitzah to get out of that was, so in other words, this was a situation where, like the Chidushim said, you can't go under. We couldn't climb out of it step by step. It was an impossibility. So you can't go under. So what happens then? So if you can't go under, you go over. So what the Rav Anishon did was, is that he just gave us madregas. Now, here's the irony of it. What madregas? We're still attached to the klipa. The klipa is still there. That's what Vaharaya. After the madregas are taken away, we're still in Mitzrayim, right? So again, the result was that we're not fully enmeshed. So like, but what's the mechanics of this? Just like, the answer is what in Pnimis, what was happening by Pesach was that the Rabbanu Shalom was giving this in, and it's like there's such a metzias of a person in Katnus, but their neshama, their Pnimis, their machshava can be elsewhere. This is why we find by Pesach such a strong inyan of imagination. I mean, when you want to find out like Pesach night, like what's the centerpiece? What's the, okay, so it used to be the Karm Pesach, now it's matzah, whatever it is, but really in Pnimis, the center piece of the Seder, like the core of what's going on, is Chayav Adam Liris Atzma Kihu Yatzma Mitzrayim. All the Sibir Yitzis Mitzrayim is about trying to relive the experience. Even in Halacha, I've spoken about this before, even in the mitzvahs of Achila that we have. Pesach Zushan Hayav Seinu Eichlem Al Shumma, Matzah Zushan Eichlem Shumma, Marzeh Shonu Eichlem Shumma. It's not just a matter of eating these items. It's reliving the experience through the eating. That's what I mentioned once. What's the name of a Seder plate? What type of business is a Seder plate? You ever thought about that? Like, what's a Seder plate? Why can't you just have it on the table? What do you need a Seder plate for? The answer is, what a Seder plate does, if matzah mar, if these are just mitzvahs of achilah, things that you have to eat, then they're disjointed. I say l'shem yichud, I'm going to eat mekayim mitzvahs achilas matzah, finished. Okay. Then there's another l'shem yichud, mekayim mitzvahs achilas mar, it's also finished. There's dal kaisis, it's all separate, disjointed experiences. But the answer is that every single one of these experiences of eating is trying to relive a story, relive an experience because of it. It's all part of one big story that I'm trying to tell. The Seder plate unites all these things in this context of trying to convey a story. The pnimius of Seder night is kilu yatzav Mitzrayim. What's this in? And why do we have to imagine? Like, who cares? Like, why is it so important? I understand why it's important to remember Yitzis Mitzrayim and to pass on that historical phenomenon to our children. I get it. But why is it important that I should relive it? The answer is because that's what the inyan of Pesach night was, imagination. It was the eitzah that Rabbanu Shem was giving, is that you can be in Mitzrayim, you can be mamish memtah shari tuma, but your mind can be past it. Your kleich hadimyan, your the pnimis of who you are, where your machshav is, that's where you are. That's what, you know, it's a well-known Targum Yonson ben Uziel, because I'll say that Pesach night, we had the Karm Pesach, right, in Mitzrayim. So Yonis ben Uziel says, this tradition, that the Rebbeinu Shel made an ace, that we went to Yerushalayim that night and brought the Karban Pesach, in Yerushalayim or something, and then we somehow got back to Pesach. Like, what does that mean? Like, we actually left Mitzrayim, we come back, so we did the Avodah there, and then we ate it back home. On the other hand, Chazal say that the blood on the doorpost was Bechinas Mizbeach. The halacha of the house was like a Bechinas Mizbeach. But I thought the Hakrav is in Yerushalayim. So I don't know. I mean, you know, miracles could happen. You know, it's not something that we can necessarily, it's not a kasha how miracles happen. That's the way it works. Somehow we were in both places at once. But in Avodah Hashem, yeah, you're in Mitzrayim, but you're mentally not. That's cool. You're in Yerushalayim. That's cool. So it's such an inyan of being in that place. If you can't go under, you go over. Fine. Take a look at Mar Malka number 6. So this is, again, a similar idea that we find in the writings of Ramchal. I've quoted this from Ramchal before, but the Ramchal is also describing this scenario, this phenomenon of being surrounded in a chitzaynistic place, a small space, but within that small space, using one's imagination and mentally and spiritually being elsewhere. And when you do that, you actually are elsewhere. You actually are able to develop one's... You could become an Adam Gadol despite the fact that your chitzonistic surroundings is in a place of katnas. Now, at some point, you got to break free from the actual katnas. But that comes with developing an inner godless. And then, like I said, the snakeskin can just be shed because it doesn't fit anymore. It's like sometimes when a person has the Yetzirah, like very often, you know, sometimes you break a Yetzirah, but sometimes you just outgrow it, right? There's also sometimes you just outgrow it. So you can't, you know, when you're a kid, there's the Yetzirah of like, taking toys from your friends, without permission. I don't know if any one of us here like worked on that inyan. You know, I don't know if we worked on that avoid of like not taking candy from our friends. The answer is we outgrew it. So there is such a thing of just outgrowing a Yetzirah. So that would be a very nice way if we could just like outgrow all our Yetzirahs too. How do you outgrow it? This is the way. You become an Adam Gadol even while you're still small. And then you just push it at some point. You just catch up to yourself and you just outgrow it. It doesn't mean that it's going to be mamish seamless. There'll still be some avoida. But at some point, it's an ace of outgrowing it. So Michal, that's what Pesach was. It was outgrowing Galus Mitzrayim. It was like at some point, we're just like the Pasuk says, Hashem says, Eis Asher Asalalti B'Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim became a joke. They simply outgrew it. They simply outgrew it. So Paramukh number 6, the Michal describes such a thing. The context he's talking about is Tevas Noach, which is also a similar phenomenon. The world is going crazy, but there's a little arc that in that arc, life continues and thrives, and even goes, develops even further. So he says like this, V'oz nasa b'china achas b'toich ha'mayim. There's such a phenomenon of creating this little bubble within the water, Shia Teva, which was like the Tevas Noach, Shafil b'zman ha'golos, but even during golos, u'b'toich ha'sitra achra, in the middle of the sitra achra, tafrish min ha'cherim, you can create this little isolated space from your surroundings, misha yizka li eschaisa v'tzela, someone who merits to be in that shaded area, and when you create that space for yourself, ve'ela, afav b'yishem b'toich ha'klipas, they're mamash in the klipas. Yikarishim chutz leklipas. To a certain degree, they're out of the klipa. This is such an inyan. You can be godless within kadnos. Is such a sight. K'may noach mamish like noach shay toicha teva bein mei amabel. He's in the teva, but the teva itself is amongst the waters of the mabel. Valkein atchlei nimseis bechinas hateva lohiav shalasis tikuna k'may shalas rashbi. So that's the context over here that he's talking about. The Rishon Vaychai in the cave, the inyan of pnimis hatayra during the years of galus. Is also this inyan of trying to, we'll talk about this maybe as the weeks go on, but this inyan of, you know, b'sifron do yafu miglus brachmi, it says that Elyono Moshe Rabbeinu, Elyono, he told Rishon Vaychai that through Pnimis HaTorah, we're going to get out of Gos Brachmi. So what's this inyan of Pnimis HaTorah? So Pnimis HaTorah is not, means, you know, a person's living in a space where there's a lot of cotton, there's a lot of gullus, a lot of darkness, and where is your head? Your head is... in the Olam HaSalayanim. So where are you then? You're in both places at once. You're in the Olam HaSalayanim, but your mom is down here. And by that, what's happening at that time is that you're outgrowing Golas. You're simply outgrowing it. And at some point, then you look at it, it's like, it's just, you don't have a tithe anymore of taking candy from your friends. It's just like, you've outgrown it. So, like at some point, that's what happens also through Pnimis HaTorah, through Pnimis Deka Avaida. This is very often very, you know, sometimes, sometimes a person can feel like a faker. It's like, you know, the avodah that I'm doing with davening and learnings with the pnimis dika way and very very stark. But then but I know that I haven't worked on my inyanim. I'm still stuck in the klipa. The answer is it's not a stira. That's called you can't go under, you go over. You can't go under, you go over, and that's called that's the mahalach of outgrowing one's katnas. Kamishu b'toicha klipas, yevshu l'saken tekuna meilu. Normally, if you're in the galus, you can't be misaken. Those, you know, the Rishon Vaychai is being isaken. It's not for you. Ach kishnimsis v'teva. But if you make for yourself a teva, in other words, if you sort of embrace this avayda of like, I'm not going to, see, that's the inyan of it. That's what Michal is telling us. Like, you have to create a teva in order to do this. And what does a teva mean? So we'll see over the weeks maybe what that means, but on a very simple level, it means you have to be don't convince yourself you're not in galus. And this is, you know, sometimes a person can say, okay, you know what? So taka, I'm out of galus. I'm mamish in heaven. No, but you have to recognize that there's a mabul going on, And you have to recognize that despite the Mabul, I'm creating for myself a space in order to become an Ish Pnimi and to allow my neshama to develop and cultivate itself and become an Adam Gadol. But I'm not going to delude myself into thinking that I'm taka out of Kadmas. I know there's Kadmas, but I'm just going to allow myself to do it. That's why it's a big Inyan. The Kisferi, we find this, that the Inyan of Mitzrayim is very much associated with the neck. First of all, a lot of connections with the neck. I mean, you know, first of all, the whole Inyan of Dam, of blood, is a very big theme when it comes to Pesach, which is always associated with the neck. That's the place of the Dam and so on. And Pari is the Oirif, which is the back of the neck, and the same letters as Oirif. It's a big Inyan. Well, maybe next week we'll speak about this more in detail, the connections between Mitzrayim and the neck. There's a lot of connections over there. But on a pumistical level, the word for neck is Garin. The word Garin equals Begimachia, Yudke Vavke, and Eke. Yudke Vavke Eke, three times. Three Yudke Vavke is three Ekes. Not Eke, I'm sorry, Elokim. Three Yudke Vavke and three Elokims, that's Begimachia Garin. Because the side of, or maybe it's one time. If someone does the math quickly. So Eke and Elokim, math is not my strong suit. But anyway, something like that. So the Inyan of Garin is this Inyan of there being, what's the side of, you know, when Yaakov, for example, Yaakov Avinu, it says in Pasuk, when he was about to be attacked by Esav, so by the Malach of Esav, so it says, Vayavar es Maver Yabik, right? He passes over the stream of Yabik. Yabik is Begmachia, Yudkevavke Elokim. Yudkevavke Elokim. Because the site of Yudkevavke Elokim means the outside is Elokim, which means Katnus. But despite that, within that, there can be an Elokim developing. And Elokim is able to develop Yudkevavke is able to develop within that covering of Elokim. And that's the site of how Yaakovino dealt with the Malach of Esav. Because sometimes you can't go under. But you can't go under, you go over. And that's also the site of the throat. The throat is that serif of Yudkevavke and Elokim. And that's what Mitzrayim was. The Eitz against Mitzrayim was that even if you can't defeat Mitzrayim head on, so you create a Tevas Noyech, you create a Tev, and you develop within it. And from there, you'll be able to outgrow it. That's what Ramchal is talking about. So he says, again, just to finish up, he says, Ach kishnim says hateva, when you have this teva, hari hamokim manus, then you have a place to escape to. Umustim in a sitrachra, and it's concealed from the other side. Shasham yachal adam li'inatz of lasis et tikunim. In that place, you could be Isaac in big things, and it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. Rak ein pulasam yoitzis l'chutz. It's just that you don't see its effects on the outside yet. It takes time for its effects to, you know, sort of break through that outer shell of Elokim. Because the teva is closed, right? It says in Pasuk, Hashem said to Noach that he has to go into the teva, and Hashem locked the teva, and the teva was locked, and he wasn't even allowed to get out until Hashem gave him permission, because that's part of the Eitzel. Like, you only allow, you know, you have to fully be developed, and then the baby can be born, you know? When the covering is taken off and Noach is allowed to come out of the teva, azira tikunim, then you'll see all that was rectified, shay segurim lifnim, that was held up inside, and you'll see all of a sudden it's like, again, that's what happens. The more a person does avodas Hashem and pnimius davening and learning and avoid and so on, it takes time sometimes to see it, but with time you are slowly but surely outgrowing your yetzaharas. And then when at some point down the road, the old Yetzirah makes its presence known, you'll find yourself just bigger. You're just a bigger person. Without necessarily having to have like Melchemes HaYetzirah, you just outgrew it. Similar to, again, like I said, how you outgrow the childish Inyanim. You just outgrew it. And so that's the moment when you are then able to realize all the tikkunim that you were Isaac in that Teva. The Tismach Pulasam and all the effort of that Pinimis Tikkun Inyan is able to grow and to make itself known. And so that's the picture that's going on over here. Now, one last nikud that I'll mention this morning, then I guess we'll stop, is like this. This all explains what was going on that first Pesach. First Pesach. So the first Pesach was what? Klal Yisrael were in a very, very low place, and it was impossible to go under, so you have to go higher. But here's the kasha. The kasha is that according to Arizal, this repeats itself, this mahalach repeats itself every single year. Let me explain. Pesach, you know, Chazal say there's a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yeshua when the world was created. Was the world created in Nisan or in Tishrei? Elo ve'elo div l'kim chayim. Ben Atam and Tosfos has an etzah, how it's elo ve'elo div l'kim chayim. According to Arizal, what's Pesach? I've mentioned this aside many times before, is that time can be viewed with all different frames. You can view a day as like a single, you know, universe by itself. You could zoom out to a week, you could zoom out to a month, you could zoom out to a year, you could zoom out to a thousand years. You can keep on zooming out. So every single vantage point of time needs its own tikkunim. So every single day, when you view it as a single unit, as a single universe, that day needs its avoda. And what's the tikkun of that particular day? So shachas mechamayr, whatever. And you zoom out, and then there's the avoda of the week. And to a certain degree, the entire week as this singularity also needs to be rectified. And the month, and the year. So in terms of the year being seen as one single entity, it also requires its tikkun, its avod. Every year that's being introduced to us requires our effort to bring it to completion, to bring it to shleimus. So what Chazal are telling us is that there's two different years that we are presented with. There's a year that begins with Tishrei, and there's a year that begins with Nisan. And the avod of Rosh Hashanah is not just an avoda of that particular day that's called Aleph Tishrei. The avoda of Rosh Hashanah is the avoda of the Misakein, the collective year that begins with Tishrei. So when a person goes to Rosh Hashanah, for example, let's say Rosh Hashanah of Tavshin Pei Dalet, whatever, you know, whatever the year is, it means that on a large scale, zooming out, seeing the year as one total entity, that year has been rectified through your avoda of Rosh Hashanah. What's your avoda the rest of the year? The avoda the rest of the year is that you're breaking down that one single entity into different smaller components. So you move from a year now to months, into weeks, into days, into moments. But the collective year has been rectified by the avoda of Rosh Hashanah. Just as the year is rectified by Rosh Hashanah, and there's another element of the year which is rectified on Nisan. The way that I'll just give the language of the Ariya Kaddish is that everything has a chitzainius and a pnimius to it. The pnimius, the year in terms of chitzainius, is headed by Tishrei. The year in terms of pnimius is headed by Nisan. So in other words, what is the avoid of Pesach? The avoid of Pesach, according to Arizal, going forward every single year, is the same thing as Rosh Hashanah is, which is just as Rosh Hashanah is a tikkun of that, of the collective year in its chitzainistic aside, Pesach is a tikkun of that year in its pnimistic aside. That's what Pesach is. But here's the chiddush. The chiddush is, it says the Arizal, every single Pesach, what you're doing on Pesach is rectifying and being misakein in that collective year that you're now entering into. The year that's as it starts from, as it goes from Pesach to Pesach, that year cycle, again, there's a year cycle that's from Tishrei to Tishrei, and there's a year cycle that's from Nisan to Nisan. The Tishrei to Tishrei cycle is called the Chitzainistic year. The Nisan to Nisan cycle is the Pnimistic year. So what you're doing on Nisan, what you're doing it by Pesach, is a tikkun of that collective year that is Nisan to Nisan. But comes the Rizal says, and the way the tikkun happens is modeled after the original Pesach. Just as the original Pesach, the tikkun was mamish, a huge godless right away, and then the godless is taken back, and you go step by step till Shavuos, that is exactly how it repeats itself every single year. So although, now here's the amazing thing, what was requiring that process in the first Pesach, which was what? Unbelievable godless right away, and then the removing of that godless, and you work step by step until Shavuos, what required that process was what? Was that we were stuck in mamash, a low place. But being stuck in a low place isn't repeating itself every year. It's not like all of a sudden Pesach comes and we're in a terrible yerida. It's not like that. But in other words, every single year of Pesach, the reason why the Rabbanu Shalom chose this mahalach of that original Pesach of unbelievable godless, of a river, that was because we couldn't go under. But all of a sudden, the Rabbanu Shalom says that result. But now going forward, that's now the Mahalach HaPesach. The Mahalach HaPesach is Lechatchila River. Now, despite the fact that you don't have the, it's not required. The darkness is not so intense every single Erev Pesach that would require this inyan of unbelievable godless Pesach night. And then having the strength to go step by step. That's not necessary every single year. Again, appreciate this. That original Pesach, the smallness that we were stuck in, that original Pesach was not just a tikkun of that year. That was on a huge historical, that was zooming out like 6,000, that was a big avoida. And ever since then, the Pesach that we experience is much smaller than that. The Pesach we experience is a tikkun of that particular year. But interestingly enough, although we're dealing with different inyanim, the model of that original Pesach continues. What's the model? Unbelievable godless, despite the fact that you're in a state of kadness, unbelievable godless. But the problem is, again, the reason why that was required by the first Pesach is because the choshech of Mem Tashari Tumah, without Harsina, without the, you know, because of the Chedi Yitzadah, so all the inyanim that was going on, that was compelling the difficult situation of being mamish in a low place, there was no other Eitzah. But having this process of unbelievable godless and going a river, going over. But the problem is, so why would that process repeat itself every single year? Now Pesach is different than it was then. We don't have the same problem. Why would we? I understand Pesach is still a significant day because it's the Rosh Hashanah of the coming year in terms of Pnimius, and therefore requires the year requires a tikkun. That's called Pesach. But the way we're misakin it, why does it have to be modeled after the original Pesach, which was like unbelievable godless at first? The reason why we had that approach of what, of going over, was because you couldn't go under. But we can go under now, what's the problem? But the Pesach doesn't repeat itself, the Avdus of Mitzrayim doesn't repeat itself. So this is the answer is that what we're seeing from here is a very big side, which is famously said by the Rebbe Marash of Lubavitch. The Marash said that that Tzadikim have said, which is referring to the Chush HaRim, that if you can't go under, you go over, said the Marash. But I say, Lechatchila River. What does it mean, Lechatchila River? Lechatchila River is the side of Pesach L'doiris. Pesach Mitzrayim is what? Is if you can't go under, you go over. But Pesach Doiris reveals, Lechatchila River. That even if you could go with the approach of step by step, because you're not Mamish Memta Shari Tumah, we're not Memta Shari Tumah before Pesach comes all of a sudden. It's not like that. So why do we need to go with this mahalach of a river? The whole reason of going a river is because you can't go under. But we could go under now. When you're dealing with Pesach Mitzrayim, which was zooming out in a much larger lens, dealing with the klipa of the Eitz Hadas Tovara, and that's why we were stuck in Mitzrayim, was mamish, a terrible, terrible dark place. So then the mahalach to give the tikkun, to bring us out of Golus Mitzrayim, was you can't go under, you go over. But going forward, where we're dealing with every particular year, we're not Mem Tashari Tumah Dafke before Erev Pesach. So why do you have to go over? That's the side, Lechatchila River. Lechatchila River means that the Rebbeinu was revealing to us through Pesach Doiris that this mahalach of outgrowing a Yetzer Hara is not just an Eitzah when you can't fight the Yetzer Hara directly. It's a mahalach Be'etzem. It's an approach of Be'etzem, and it's Lechatchila. It's Lechatchila, if you can do it. Now, we'll speak about, maybe Bez Hashem, we'll speak about more B'pratis of why this is, but we already can feel, hopefully, in this inyan of Lechatchila River, the side of Geula coming Barachamim, of redemption happening Barachamim. Just as a person deals with their own personal Yetzara, so too Klal Yisrael deals with their collective Klipa that's called Gullus. There's two approaches. You could face it head on, attack the enemy face to face, which Nebuch usually comes with casualties and it's difficult and v'chulu, or you could just simply outgrow the enemy. You could outgrow the enemy. When Geula takes place in a way of simply outgrowing Gullus, it's seamless. The skin sheds and it's like, you never really, even the Klipa didn't know that it was being defeated. It didn't even know. Like, it's oblivious to the situation. It's like Haman. Haman had no idea until you know, he's going into Achashverosh to talk about hanging Mordechai. And like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like he realizes that the whole time he was being defeated from the get-go. He had no asaga. He had no asaga of it. And that's a gul barachamim. You understand that's a gul barachmim. And when that takes place, that's what we want. And that the avodas Hashem that parallels that is not if you can't go under, go over. The way the avodas Hashem that parallels that is lechatchila river. It's to choose this path of outgrowing one's yetzahara. And it's a derech harucha shikatzara. That's the way of the Baal Shem Tov, and that's the way of gul barachmim. And that's what you see by Pesach. The chiluk between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doris. Maybe we'll speak about this. There's halachic differences also, we know, between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doris. Pesach Mitzrayim was one of the basic differences was that the Pesach of Mitzrayim, the halacha was is that the Karban Pesach had to be eaten when you're wearing your coat and your shoes. And it's like, you're obviously on your way out. You know, it's like you're screaming, like, we're getting out of here. Pesach Doris doesn't have that quality. Pesach Doris is that you're wearing, you're not putting your coat on. You're not in such a way. That's just ironic. Pesach Mitzrayim, they knew they were not leaving till the next morning. But it's like Pesach Mitzrayim is still with this approach of like lechatchila, it's good to go under. That's when we want to go under. No, you can't go under. We'll go over. So lemaisa, we can't. We don't have the strength to go under to deal with the Yetzar head on and to really like just you know run out of Mitzrayim and break through the doors. We can't do that. So now we're given the Eitzah of putting our machshava in Yerushalayim, of bringing the Karban Pesach. That's what the Karban Pesach was roasted in a fetal position. Fetal position means there's something developing on the inside. Something developing like a baby in the womb. So the Jewish people are sitting in the Karban Pesach, which means that you're in Meichen of Gula, but they're physically wearing their coats, expressing the fact that lechatchila, what we want to do is just to leave right now. We don't have the strength to, so we'll go with this Malach. But that's Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Doiris says, no, lechatchila river, it's good. Lechatchila river, don't wear your coats. Like lechatchila, don't, like this, like the avoid is to be mentally higher place. Even if you could escape. Like, the mahalach is lechatchila river. And that's the avoid of, we see with Pesach. And so going back to this pasuk, like Hashem says to Yeshua, you can't, just divide the land. Divide up the land, kilo is ready, taken care of, and that'll solve the problem. Okay, Shri Zaycha to get out of all of our galus and barachman. Shkayach. Say it again. Sorry. Nachum. Yeah. But it's reliving it. It's relive the Yetziah, right. The using the imagination, that's the clef of the imagination of being able to relive it. Where's I'm going to turn it off.
What's Chitzonius and Pnimius?
Right.
To Tishrei.